after 1 year of prep,
mm.
I decided to pull out because I feel like I just look too skinny and I don't look good. Because I asked him one question before I pull out.
Mm.
Will I be able to get the gold medal? Because I'm someone who is very competitive. Yeah. So I want the gold. For me, I always say that even the second place is a loser. Why I say not to follow my kind of mindset. Because I went to Miss Malaysia representing Perak. And what happened was, I was so disappointed because I got 6th place.
Okay.
I didn't get a medal at all.
Right.
And like top 5 at least that had a medal. But I was going back home with nothing. And so I gave up in a way.
Seorang yang sangat kurus kemudiannya menjadi gohan dan juara keseluruhan untuk bina badan. Beliau akan berkongsi perjalanan beliau dengan anda. Dan sebelum tu, saya dalam misi untuk mengurangkan 1% obesiti di Malaysia. Awak boleh membantu saya dalam misi saya. Like dan juga share video ini dengan kawan-kawan anda. Without further ado, welcome to season 2 episode 38. Sebelum Jackie menjadi juara keseluruhan dalam sukan bina badan pada tahun 2023, saya dan penonton betul-betul nak tahu perjalanan beliau daripada zaman sekolah lagi. So, please welcome Jackie. So, Jackie, boleh tak you kongsi sikit your perjalanan daripada zaman sekolah? How you actually get started into fitness lah?
Okay, I'm actually a very fat kid.
Oh, I thought kurus tadi, okay? Okay.
Yeah, saya memang start dari sangat gemuk.
Uh-huh.
Lepas tu, saya rasa umur 11, saya memang aktif dalam sukan lah.
Okay.
Saya masuk dalam bola sepak, dalam marathon, dalam badminton. Memang banyak sukan. Saya memang suka main sukan.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Jadi lepas tu, saya pun jadi seorang yang sangat kurus. Kerana saya pun tak makan banyak.
Right, sekejap. So, who actually motivate you or inspire you to start exercising?
I think it's just the minat. And when you are in school,
right.
I think when you do sports and you excel in it, uh-huh. It looks cool.
Right. So that's yeah. Intention to look cool.
Yes, you're like a cool kid.
Right. Okay, so how long it took you to, like, from overweight, jadi kurus?
I think in 1 year, when I'm so active in sports and when I'm standard 6 around 12 years old, I'm actually a very, very skinny kid already by then.
Okay, then after that, what happened?
So after that, I had a very serious injury, actually, when I played football.
Right.
And so I needed to take a short break in sports. And later on, when I tried to be active again, I went to uni and I wanted to continue in football because I just love the sport.
Okay, so basically about 6 years not doing any sports.
In around 3 years, I didn't do any sports.
Oh, okay.
And so I became a bit fat again.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I wanted to continue playing football at uni, what happened was I wasn't selected for the school team in that university.
Oh, damn.
Yes.
I bet you hit them so much.
yeah.
Because you put so much effort, then they don't choose you.
Okay. Yeah, so I didn't get selected in the trial. And so what happened was, I followed one of my friends to go to the gym because he has a gym membership that is nearby the university.
Okay.
And then he brought me there. And I actually started going to the gym following him, just wanted to go to the treadmill and do some cardio because I'm always like a very active person and I'm actually a marathon runner as well when I was a kid. And so I love running and I love jogging and doing cardio.
When you say you love, were you competitive by nature or you just prefer endurance?
If I love a sport very much, I will go very competitive in it. But marathon for me is very hard to be very competitive because there is so many good runners out there, especially when I joined some marathons during my time. There will always be someone who is so amazing. Like, for example, African countries, athletes that come over to marathons in our countries, they will always win.
They're sapu.
Yeah, they're sapu. Their time is out of this world.
Right. Understand?
So I just take it as something I enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, saya pergi gym lah. Lepas tu saya pergi gym, saya buat jogging sikit. Dan lepas tu satu hari, saya tengok banyak orang pun main yang berat-berat.
Okay.
Dan satu kawan saya kat situ pun sedang main gym.
Okay.
Yang saya tahu dia from saya punya sekolah masa kecil. Dan saya pun pergi tanya dia, macam mana dia dapat badannya cantik macam tu? Dia ada apex.
Wow.
Dia punya genetik ada 8 packs.
Wow.
Jadi dia punya barang tu sangat cantik. Saya tanya dia, macam mana dia dapat barang macam tu? Saya pun tak dapat. Tapi barang macam tu adalah macam sangat lean fizik. Itulah saya rasa semua orang pun suka. Kat Malaysia ke, kat semua tempat. And so my goal when I went to the gym is also try to get a physique like that. Yeah, and we like to watch dramas like the Korean dramas, like the Korean actors. You see how they got a ripped six pack, but they're not very muscular. They are lean and they're fit and they look good.
Yeah.
And so I want to be like that.
Right. Yes. So that was the starting point.
Yes, that was the starting point. And so I quit the cardio. I started doing the weights.
I see.
Yes.
So how long it takes you to develop a decent amount of muscles?
So I trained with my friend. So basically the friend that brought me into the gym, I ditched him.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah, sorry, bro, because of your cardio. So I went to the friend that is more experienced in lifting.
Right.
And so I tried to get a physique like that. And of course, I think I managed to get quite a decent physique, but it was very skinny.
Okay.
And so it was skinny and I looked like quite lean. And at the same time, it was a lot of hard work as well. Because when I went for university, when I look at my friends were eating food from the canteen.
Right.
And what I was eating was, I was boiling chicken breasts and broccolis. And I don't even know how to count calories. That's the worst part.
Right.
And so I thought of eating just one slice of chicken breast for my lunch and then just one slice of chicken breast for my dinner. And I basically just had like two chicken breasts the whole day.
How long it took? How long did you do that?
I did that for a couple of months, and I saw my physique went from quite a skinny guy to a really, really skinny person, but with abs. I can see the abs because I mean skinny people abs.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you think back, okay, you got inspired by another friend in the gym. Okay. Then you follow the way how he makan, by just copycat lah kan.
Tapi lepas tu dia ada ajar saya sikit. Macam mana cara yang betul. Untuk makan sikit, kena makan lebih banyak tapi lebih healthy lah kita punya option tu. Kerana kita memang ada macam mindset yang makan perlu elakkan karbo ke, perlu elakkan gula ke. Tapi kita boleh tambahkan sikit. Dia pun ada ajar cara tambahkan sikit seasoning. Lepas tu saya pun ada tambahkan saya pun food volume. Tapi saya tak ada ikut. Tak ikut.
Okay.
Kerana saya rasa saya tak cukup lean lagi. Saya masih gemuk. Kerana saya nak nampak six pack tu je.
Obsessed gila.
I'm so obsessed with the Korean models that I've been watching all the dramas. I want to look like that.
Give me one of the actor that you...
Oh, I think a good example is like Park Seo Joon. He's a very famous actor. So it's something like that. I want to get a physique like that. But what happened was... What you would normally do is you would look at YouTube during that time. You don't have much shorts from like TikTok and things like that. So I was searching and FYP just came out all of a sudden. Like all those Arnold Schwarzenegger videos and all those like... During my time, I really liked this guy called Callum Van Morgel. I think now it's a bit quiet. So I was watching those videos and I feel like those are more amazing. And those looks so amazing to a point where they look so different than everyone else out there. And so, suddenly, I want to be like them.
But very, very fast how you change your interests.
Yes, from the skinny to someone that I want to look who's so big and looks so different than anyone else when I'm walking out.
Okay, so walk us through. That transformation, you go to the gym, you start bringing your own food, boiled chicken, broccoli, similar to. And for what purpose do you do that? I know you say it for physique, but for someone to be so obsessed, like everybody eating kwetiau goreng or whatever, and you makan, like for what purpose actually?
Actually, to be honest, I just love looking good. And I do love a bit of attention.
I see. Thank you for being honest.
Yes, I don't mind admitting that. So... I just love looking good. Even when people ask me now during my live session that I do on TikTok, I do have a TikTok. And so when people ask me, do I still love gym?
Right.
I would say that I don't enjoy it as much anymore. I will admit that.
Okay.
But
this is interesting.
But I just like looking good. So I will not give up in doing so. And I do have things that I want to achieve doing this. So I will continue to work hard no matter what. But if you ask me the love for training and all that, compared to the past, of course, it has lowered down.
Okay.
Yes. But I will still continue no matter what. I just love looking good.
But before we go there, we want to understand better. Okay, you're being obsessed. You transform from just lean and abs to big and muscular. When did you decide I want to compete?
Okay. Someone was asking me in the gym when I went back to Ipoh, which is actually my hometown.
I see.
Okay, okay. So I was working at the gym part-time.
Okay.
And there was a trainer there who told me that I have the potential to get something out of the competition. He didn't say champion, but I mean, I could try competing because I'm still a junior during that time. And so if he say you can go try, you might be able to get something. And I mean, it's a good experience.
True.
That's what he told me. So I thought of, well, yeah, okay, I'll try and I go for it. So after 1 year of prep, I decided to pull out.
Oh, why so?
Because I feel like I just look too skinny and I don't look good.
You say that you look skinny or someone said you look skinny?
I myself say that I look skinny.
Okay.
I just don't feel like I look good enough. Because I asked him one question before I pull out. Will I be able to get the gold medal? Because I'm someone who is very competitive. So I want the gold. For me, I mean, it's just me. And I don't hope that people out there will be influenced by this mindset of mine, but I always say that even the second place is a loser.
I understand.
Like, you can be second place, you can be 10th place, you still lost to the first place. Right. And I don't think it's a good mindset, but it's something that I always have in me. So I feel like the goal is everything when I go compete. And I wanted to win. So when I told him that, and he said, I got no chance at all. Jadi,
sorry, diri lah.
Sorry, yeah.
Okay, so do you think, okay, he said that you got no chance lah, okay, but do you think if you try to attempt and you don't have chance, will you be very disappointed or you will quit becoming an athlete or what?
I don't think so, because when you need to look at the sport, I feel like bodybuilding is a sport where everyone knows that if you want to win or if you want to look good, there's just something that we cannot height.
Right.
Yes.
Understand.
So I believe that I was actually still a natural athlete during that time. And it's going to be very hard for me to compete against people who is actually enhanced.
Right.
Yes. So I decided to pull out. And yes, during that year, I actually started being an enhanced athlete.
You're welcome to say whatever.
Yes.
But don't judge here. Okay. So when you decided, were you buta-buta like how you started your gym also mula-mula?
I actually didn't have much knowledge on the drops.
Right.
But I felt like since it might be a good experience and a good opportunity for me to win, since it's my last year of my junior and I still want to be trying to be a competitive in a sport. Because I don't know what sport am I going to go in the future, because I started loving gym in the few years that I was still at uni. And I feel like this might be the sport for me. Okay. And so I wanted to give it a try. If I fail at it, after a few years, I mean,
I try my best.
Yeah, I try my best. There's something I could do. You know, so that's the option for me during that time. I feel like I just had to give it a go.
Okay.
So I give it a go. And yes, luckily I did get my junior champion during that year.
Congrats.
Yes, in 2019, which was the Mr. Perak Junior Champion. Yes, and after winning, I think you will get so addicted to the winning feeling that you feel like this might be it. Yeah, so I continue doing that, and something happened during that year, which actually breaks me down a lot, which why I say not to follow my kind of mindset. Because I went to Miss Malaysia representing Perak. And what happened was I was so disappointed because I got sixth place.
Okay.
I didn't get a medal at all.
Right.
And like, top five at least that had a medal.
Right.
But I was going back home with nothing. And so I gave up in a way.
Define give up. What do you mean by give up?
I stopped gym.
Okay.
For a good 6 months. I think almost 6 months. Wow. And what happened was, the worst part was, I was getting back on track at MCO came. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I was looking good for another 1 or 2 months. And then COVID, we had a lockdown,
right?
And I became a very, very fat kid. And that's the time which I'm the heaviest in my life. I was 100 kilos.
Shit.
Yeah, for my height, it's actually a really, really big thing.
Okay.
And so I look so fat. I look so chubby. I feel so heavy. I don't feel comfortable walking around.
Right.
And then I decided one day I will try to do some cardio, just to do some sports, just to feel better.
Right.
But one of my friends came to me. He told me to think about competing again.
Okay.
So I had a few thoughts about it before actually giving it a go again, because I felt like the disappointment that I had in 2019 was so painful, because I actually expected to do something like even a placing, but I didn't get anything. So after a few thoughts, I actually made a comeback.
Right.
Yeah. And I started prepping. And in half a year, I lost from 100 kilos to 65 kilos.
Wow.
At Mr. Barak 2022.
Okay. Share with the listener and viewer, what do you do to reduce the huge amount of weight?
Okay. That was very painful. I can say that it's not easy at all.
Okay.
And based on the experience, I could definitely agree that a fat guy... you had it more difficult compared to a skinny guy to actually look good.
Right.
Because the starting phase of that cutting phase is so terrible. You feel so heavy. You feel like you can't move. Your legs are so heavy. Even stepping on the treadmill feels like you're holding another 100 kilo on your belly. Yeah, it doesn't feel good. But of course, we started our diet. We started our training. And I had a goal in mind. I wanted to compete during that year in 2022. So... at the end, I think it was a bit more painful because I was around 69 kilos. And in competition, we actually have categories. So we have 65, 75 based on bantamweight, lightweight and everything. So I decided to give it a go at bantamweight. I know that if I go for something heavier...
Okay, just to clarify something. Yeah. So bantamweight usually is very common for someone that's 160 cm. What's your height?
165.
Okay, 165. Usually 165 is welterweight, right?
To do well, yes, around the weight.
So for him, from 100 kilo to bantam, that's 65 kilo, it's about 35 kilo of drop. Oh, gila lah. Okay.
I did that in 5.5 months.
Crazy.
Yeah, so it was painful, but I did that. So I was around 68. Actually, I had like a 3-4 kilos to drop down before the show. And it was the last week and I'm still around 68. I know that I wouldn't go up against the welterweights.
Right.
Because if you're around 60-ish, you're not going to get a good result against the welterweights who are around 70-something. So I decided to do the extreme.
Okay, I think I know what is it.
Yes.
To throw a lot of water from the body.
Correct.
Okay, please share.
Yes, but it was so extreme. For 4 days, I didn't drink water.
Oh, damn.
I had sauna.
Okay.
Double 1 hour session cardio. And I did some bathing as well.
Right.
So that time it was terrible. And the worst part was getting out of the sauna and you still couldn't get a sip of water.
Right.
I still can remember that moment very, very clearly. I was like crawling out of the sauna and I had no energy at all. But yes, I survived through that. And yeah, I think everything went well.
Luckily, you didn't faint.
Luckily, I didn't. Luckily, I'm not admitted to hospital as well.
Exactly.
And yeah, I got a good result at Mr. Barak 2022. I won the gold as well at Men Physique. And yes.
Okay, I just want to ask this question. Okay, when you decided, or before you decide to, you know what, I'm going to do my sauna, my cardio, my sunbathing, and you were stuck at 68 and who gave you the idea to do that?
Actually, I got a coach.
Okay, good.
And this coach is actually from China.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. I actually have this coach beside me for 2 years already.
Nice.
So this is the coach that has helped me won all the titles that I had so far currently. Except for the most recent ones because I stopped with him, his services. So yes, since 2021, I started my coaching with him until last year after I won my Mr. Perak.
Okay, let's say he's not there. Do you think that you would do that? Going to sauna, long hours, doing extra cardio?
I don't think so, because I don't think I have the knowledge.
Okay.
And so I think it's a good thing to hire a coach who is able to give you the knowledge of something that you could do it, but it might be very painful.
Yeah.
Yeah, because why I didn't take a coach who maybe from Malaysia, who is nearby, maybe I could go consult him easier. Mm. But the thing is, this is just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
I feel like I am able to get something else when I find a coach elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, because we always have the traditional way of thinking that I actually don't quite agree on sometimes.
Mm.
Yes.
I understand.
In our Malaysian culture lah, in bodybuilding.
I understand.
So he helped me get there. And the best part during that year was I was actually representing Perak for Mr. Malaysia as well. And I was actually very nervous and very scared.
Okay.
Because of what happened in 2019. I'm afraid if I lose again.
PTSD. PTSD, yes, right? I understand.
I'm afraid if I lose again, I might had an even worse breakdown.
Right.
And yeah, it actually, I'm really, really scared for it. And I had like a 1.5 month to prepare for the show after the Mr. Barak. And yep, everything went well. And I won that year as well, Mr. Malaysia. Yeah, I got my gold medal.
Nice.
So it was all good.
Okay, so that's two competition, right?
Yep.
The first one was junior. Second one, okay, no placing.
I competed Mr. KL in 2019 as well. So that one, I got a second placing.
Okay, so in total, until that period that you won gold for Perak, how many competition have you competed?
Since
the first time you compete until you won Malaysia.
Until you won Malaysia, I've competed in... that was the fifth show.
Okay, nice. Okay, then after that, what happened?
So after that, I competed a week later at F5 Malaysia. It was a fairly new federation during that time.
Mm.
And yeah, it was at Johor.
Mm.
And I'm able to get a goal as well.
Mm.
And I ended my year there.
Mm.
So next year, I felt like I had something that I want to achieve. I gave myself a goal.
Mm.
I wanted to achieve a pro card.
Mm.
Yes, I told myself, I don't care what pro card is.
Okay,
but
what's the logic that you have in your mind, Ken? Okay, I really want Malaysia. I think I can become pro already.
Okay.
I know you're competitive. What's your logic? Like, I can menang lah.
Why I decided to get a pro card? Because a pro card is basically you're not under MBBF.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to stir up any arguments or anything.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is, I thought that once we win Mr. Malaysia in our category, we are able to represent the country to go compete elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm someone who don't mind doing that, and I really wanted to do it. And so I'm asking a few person and whether or not I'm able to actually represent Malaysia. And it's something that you feel just so proud if you're able to do it.
Of course.
Yes, holding the Malaysian flag.
Of course.
And I really wanted to do it. Mm. And that year, I was asking a few person, can I go? Like, is there an opportunity? But unfortunately, there's already someone who's in my place for that category. Yes. Okay. So I couldn't do much.
Mm.
And in a way, it hurt me a bit. Okay. And I told myself, that's it lah. I'm going to go somewhere where I think that I might be helping my career lah, in this bodybuilding.
Okay.
And so I decided to go for the pro card.
Mm.
But I was thinking, maybe every pro card is a bit too high level.
Okay.
You know, for my level during that time.
Because you only committed 5
combat. Yeah. I feel like I still have a long way to go before I reach the level IBB.
Mm.
So I decided to give it a go at FIF or WFF.
Mm.
So 2023 last year, I decided to actually compete in WFF. And
how long was the preparation?
The preparation actually was quite long because when I talked to my coach, he said that we actually need to bulk up.
Okay.
Because I'm still like around 65-ish. And for my weight to actually look good in bodybuilding, I would actually need to be like way higher than that. And so we actually bulk up. We had a few bulking cycles, which took up to around 1.5 years.
Okay.
Before the WFF show.
Okay, so when you bulk up, what was the weight that you went max?
I went up to 90. Okay. Yes, 90 with a six pack.
Wow.
Yes, so it's not rib. It's not the rib condition on stage condition. It was a fairly lean condition.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good enough for me to know that I'm not fat. Yes. So in the 90 kilos, when I started cutting, it went well. And even when I went on Mr. Para, I did go Mr. Para because there's something that I wanted to achieve. Okay. I always wanted to win at Mr. Para in bodybuilding category.
Okay.
Yes, because it's something that I didn't do the previous year. So I felt like there's just something left for me to achieve last year. So I did compete at Mr. Para. And only after I competed at Mr. Para, I went for the WFF Pro Show.
Okay, so basically you can consider Mr. Para as your warm-up competition.
In a way, yes. But when a lot of people ask me always, what competition do I value the most?
Uh-huh.
To be honest, I will always say Mr. Para.
Oh.
Yes, because I have my family there, I have my friends there, and it means a lot to me to show them that I'm actually serious in what I'm doing. So I actually want to win in front of them.
Wow.
Yeah, it feels different winning in front of your family members. Okay. Watching.
And I'm menyampus here.
Boleh?
Believe it or not, I've never once competed in front of my parents.
Ooh.
Not malu lah. I better not share this. Too risky. Risky is because there's something that I shouldn't show. So it's not pleasant to my parents, even though they know. So anyway, that's one of the reasons why I didn't compete bodybuilding in front of my parents. But other sports, yes, I show them. So anyway, back to you.
So the perasaan lah, perasaan tu depan kamu punya family members tu.
Lying down.
Yeah, it feels different lah, the extra pressure. So in a way, like say it's a warm-up show. So I went to the Singapore WFF show in September last year. Yes, and all things went well. I won my category. I won the overalls. And I
expectation
pro card.
Did you expect that you're gonna dominate?
Okay, like I said, I have the mindset of winning always. So I wouldn't say that I'm expecting myself to win the pro card.
Right.
But I would say that I'm super confident that I'm gonna win the category.
Okay.
Yes, because that's how I approach every game.
Okay.
Yes, I always feel like you need to have the winning mentality first before being the very best.
That's good and bad. Bad, macam apa he said just now lah, disappointed when you expected very high expectation, tak dapat kan.
That's what happened in 2019.
And that's nice. Okay, you already won. You already got your title as a pro. What's next?
Pro card.
But you already got your pro.
Okay, I don't mind announcing here that my next goal is to get the IFBB pro card.
Okay, now this is clarify us. There's so many listeners and viewers like, what's the difference? IFBB, like, what's the difference?
Like, IFBB pro card is the federation where the best athletes in the world actually compete in.
Okay.
Like, you have heard of the Jay Cutlers, your Ronnie Coleman, your Phil Heath, those are the guys that are the IFBB pros. Right. And so I think everyone will have the ambition to actually reach that level one day.
Right.
And the same goes to me.
Right. Clearly understand. Suatu ketika dahulu, I pun ada dream macam tu. Tapi when I found out that I cannot outwork so many other people. Assuming if you and I compete, because we say, oh, same category tau. I used to compete 68 and 75. But I reached to one point that I don't think I can cope up with other people. So if I'm competing with you, I'm very sure I cannot win because you are so obsessed, kan? So that's why I know myself, I tarik diri lah daripada competing. Because people like this. Okay, now back to the IFBB. Okay, I will consider what he's trying to say is much more prestige. Because all this competition besar-besar is IFBB. I'm not saying IFF tak bagus ke, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that it's already they have already positioned themselves. If you want to be known as the best bodybuilder, it's always IFBB.
Correct.
Okay. When do you think that you'll be a pro in IFBB? Again, you already plan, obsessive. Can.
I'm actually giving myself another few years. I actually want to reach this goal before I'm 30.
Okay, so that's 3 years.
So currently I'm 26.
Four more years.
Yes, so I'm giving myself a few years to get this goal. And currently, I'm planning to compete this year as well in IVV.
Wow.
So hopefully, I can do well. But even if I don't get my pro card, it's okay. Because I'm giving myself a few years to get this. Okay. Because this is something I feel like it's a really, really difficult thing to achieve.
Right.
And so I'm able to accept defeat even when I face against good competitors.
Right.
So this year, I'll probably be competing in 2 to 3 shows.
Okay.
Which are all IBB pro qualifiers.
Nice.
So let's see what happens during end of this year.
I wish you all the best. Yeah, you really did very well. I've seen your, you know, your progress. Just within 5 competitions, he already got his pro card. Ken. So that's amazing, gila lah. Now, during this journey of you competing as a pro swimmer, was there any bad experience? Apart from, oh, I feel disappointed. So that's very common. Any bad experience during your prep?
During my prep?
Yeah.
I think it's just example of like when I'm cutting.
Okay.
I think that's the thing that a lot of people actually face, which is their anger management issues at times.
Everybody, even the other day, both Jill and
Damon,
boyfriend, they say, if both of you diet together, disaster. Good womb, marah again. Okay. So, good to know that you have no bad experience. Like some of the guests I've invited before, coma, hospitalized, because, you know, excessive amount of things lah.
So far, not happened to me yet.
Well done. Hopefully.
Never.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I'm very certain out there, there are listeners and viewers, one to experience like you. Like, okay, I go to the gym already for 2 years. I got the basic foundation. How do I become a pro like you? What would you advise to them?
They are planning to compete.
Yes, correct.
So if you first start to compete, I would not suggest you to think of getting a pro card first. Think of doing well in the sport first. So maybe like trying to win your category or know what category you are in. Because there are so many categories.
Yeah.
There are bodybuilding, there are men physique, there's classic physique. So know what you're best at. Look at your body structure and think what's best for you. So what's best for you, go for it.
Yeah.
And actually just focus on it. Don't think so much on any other categories anymore.
Right.
Yeah, just focus on it and try your best to be better every show. I always don't agree on people who compete quite a number of shows a year, especially when it's spread out.
Please enlighten us.
Yes, so people who compete all year round are the people that I always see having the same physiques every single year. And they don't make any improvements. And if you really want to be very competitive in this sport, I feel like you need to have off-season. So off-season, it means bulking.
Yeah.
So you need to pack on some muscle mass to look different when you come back on stage the next time.
Yeah.
So even when I say that I wanted to compete in 2 to 3 shows this year, all the shows are in the 2 months time period. Yes, so I will actually be able to just keep my condition during that time period and actually do well. If I have a show which is like 5 to 6 months apart, I feel like it's going to be very hard for me to have a proper plan to actually go for the show.
Really?
Like as you can see in Malaysia, a lot of people always bring the same package every year.
Yeah,
and they always compete back in the same category.
Right.
And for me, in 3 years that I competed, I went from junior to bantam to welter.
Yeah.
And this year, I can definitely say that I'm going into middle.
So that's about 90 kilo lah, kan?
That's about below 85.
85.
Yeah, that was heavy lah, 90.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going middle.
Okay. What I want to add on, what he said is, setting a goal, because that's exactly what he said. Make sure you know what competition you want to participate, set a goal. Number two, jangan expect tinggi sangat because you tak pernah compete. And make sure you have someone there to guide you. Like even for him, he mentioned that someone there was guiding him, kan?
Yes.
Now, the listener and the viewer want to know, how can they reach you? If they have questions regarding about preparation or competition, how can they reach you?
Oh, they can always contact me through Insta or even TikTok. Actually, TikTok are more known as Gohan China. Yeah, I think quite a lot of people know that because it's actually a name that was given to me by Jason. And in a way, he's also my sifu in content creating. I'm someone who is very, very bad at text and all that. And he's the one who taught me how to edit videos, how to do all the videos that I'm doing now. And if people who follow me will know, I'm quite active on TikTok. And I'm doing my own videos. And so everything is being taught to me by Jason.
Nice. Shout out to Jason.
Yeah, shout out to him. Yeah, thank you to helping me to do all these content creating things.
Actually, it's quite good that we have many of these athletes, including him, is sharing about their journey. Because in the back of people's mind, to get this body, you super supplement only lah, then jangan dapat this body, but you don't know the actual story, the struggle. Because I'm pretty sure you, Jason, share a lot of their struggle, the training, semua kan. And any last word you want
to
share?
And to add on to that, I feel like it's very important for a bodybuilding athlete or any other athletes to build up their social media.
Yes.
Because it helps you to build your branding. It creates more awareness and it helps you in earning more money as well. If you know how to properly use it.
Yeah.
Like if you can see that even when we say that people who achieve so much in this sport, if they don't know how to properly market themselves,
they
are basically just throwing money away without people knowing them or even getting things in return from what they have invested in.
Thank you for pointing that out, because I personally have experienced that last time as a competitive athlete. After winning competition, I have a very high expectation that people are going to give me money. But actually, no, because you don't have any branding and people don't know you. So utilize the social media that you have now, create your own brand, position yourself. Bukan saja you're going to share your journey, but at the same time also people would want to participate in your journey. And
as you can see, my shirt here, MMX, a lot of people will actually ask the same question. Like, how do you get sponsorship? How do you get sponsorship? It's not just by winning shows. If you win shows, but you don't have a social media, your sponsors won't care. They want you to have a value to them. So if you're doing contents and you have a value and you're able to promote their product, that's where you get free supplements.
Exactly.
And that's where you will be able to save your money every month. And so, shout out to my sponsor, MX, as well, for 2 years already.
Nice, awesome. Okay, that being said, Gohan.
Yes.
Thank you very much for coming over to my podcast. Thank you very much for sharing your journey with the listeners and viewers. Hopefully in future, the next time I'll see you, I have to call you a pro, IFBB pro.
Hopefully.
And I'm very certain you can do that also. All right, guys. Thank you very much. Take care. We'll meet again in the next episode. Peace out.